The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. You know, we want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jeremiah Vick.
I know it's a little awkward coming up on stage after you just were on the video, but anyway. So, Victor, thanks for editing that part where at the beginning where I said, am I on yet? That was good. It's like... You guys that know me are just like, that's his pet peeve, like anything that's like unedited. No. Anyway, it has been such an incredible privilege and such a fun ride being a part of Remnant Church. And gosh, I was just in the back thinking as we were, you know, getting to hear people's stories and reasons why they were attracted to Remnant and why it's been such an important part of their life. And I started thinking, so I'm just going to ask you to raise your hands because I know there's only going to be like three hands in here or four at the most, but how many were here, a part of Remnant, not here, obviously, because we moved, but how many were a part of Remnant within like the first 6 months, part of Remnant? Awesome. I didn't know there'd be that many hands, but awesome. Very, very cool. So you guys have been with us 10 years. Can you believe that? Okay, so how many of you were in the very first service that we had around it? Remember when there was like as many people in the audience as there was in the worship band? That was a little awkward, but how many of you were there in that service? I think you were, Daniela. Yes, I know you were, Dana. Yeah, I think you guys were there too. Awesome. Victor, yeah, you were there. Victor's been leading worship at Remnant since day one. Been leading. We have great worship leaders. Chris, Zeus, we've had great worship leaders through the years. Give him a hand. That's awesome. But Victor has been leading that worship experience at Remnant for 10 years. And many of you came to Remnant because of the worship experience, which I think is pretty awesome that's been something you've really connected with. And so I love, Hedy's always said that when we've asked her a couple times, you know, how long have you been coming to Remnant? And she's like, I heard the worship band. I was like, these guys are awesome and I'm here to stay. And so... it's just exciting to know that God uses different things in different ways for each one of us to be able to really connect. Okay, who did it? April Fools. Someone April Fooled me. Nice. So I opened my Bible. There was a roach in my Bible here. And the thing that freaked me out was that I thought it was a fake roach. And then now that I'm looking at it, it's not. You got it from the bathroom, didn't you? It's, oh my gosh, it's real. Yeah, it's a real thing. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding, it's fake. Nicely done. So, we pranked Jerry this morning with the worship band started out playing his favorite song that he complains about, and then someone stuck a roach in my Bible. That's truly nice. Now, if that had been in there for a long time, you'd know, hey, this guy never reads his Bible, right? But someone stuck it in there within the last half hour or so. But anyway, funny stuff. I've totally lost my place, though. What was I saying? Oh, I wanted to just take a moment to thank people that have been serving at Remnant. So, okay, I know that we love everyone that comes to Remnant and that you're a part of it. You feel connected, and we hope that you're growing. You feel a part of this family. But there are some people that have just, like, kind of stepped up a notch in not just, like, coming to Remnant, but actually taking part and being here. And so I want to give a shout out to the people that come and set up every Sunday morning. These guys get here at 8 o'clock, 3 hours before anybody else. They pray together. They set up. I mean, during the summer and going out to that trailer and pulling the equipment out. I mean, these guys are drenched in sweat by the time the service starts, and they do it day in and I shouldn't say day in and day out, weekend in and weekend out, right? But they just do an amazing job. And Jesus Valencia, always bringing our trailer every week, storing that at his house. Thanks so much, you guys. Thank you so much. And you know, a big part of I've already complimented our worship band, of course, but a big part of setup crew is our worship band. You know, it's like they have to be here for worship, right? So it's like kind of forced to be a part of the setup team, but they don't actually have to be, but they have done that. And so such a great thing. Another group of people that serve at Remnant every Sunday, and you probably are not even really aware, well, maybe you're aware of them, but you don't think about them very much because they're there, but it's like they're doing something across the street. So we have teams that work with our children's ministry. I think we've got five or six teams that on our rotation. And so let's give it up for our children's ministry teams that are serving over there. That is such a big deal. They create such a cool environment for our kids, and our kids are so important to us, and we love to know that our kids are safe, they're in good hands when they're over there, and so those people are amazing. And then our tech crew back there that kind of keeps an eye on things, and hopefully everything runs smoothly if the guy that puts together PowerPoint stuff does his job right. But anyway, thank you, Randy, for all your hard work at Remnant as well. Appreciate that. So you guys are... one last group of people that if they didn't show up to do what they do at Remnant, you guys would all probably leave. You'd just be like, I'm not sticking around if there's not something to eat and some coffee and drinks in the back. So our refreshment folks, thanks so much, Jill, Tracy, others that are a part of that. Really appreciate you guys. You guys are amazing. Yeah, it takes a lot of people to put on a service that's like an hour and a half long, right? I mean, it takes a ton of people to come together and to make sure that everything works out just right. and they do it for one reason. We don't pay anybody. By the way, if you're not really familiar with how Remnant operates, we're a completely volunteer church, 100% volunteer. None of the pastors are paid. None of our volunteers, none of the people that work and put in hours for Remnant are paid. No one gets a cent. And they do it all just because they love God and they love you guys. And I think that's a really big deal that they do that. So thank you so much, you guys that give on a regular basis without expecting any rewards. So thank you. Very cool. So thinking back on the 10 years at Remnant, we've had some crazy stuff go down, and we've had some like last-minute changes. Like, we didn't know where we were going to meet for sure a coming Sunday, and so we're like kind of frantic and trying to figure it out and calling around and trying to get a place scheduled. And we were out at YFC for a few months, and we were out at the fairgrounds for less than a year, and then out at Ben Hulse, and then finally here. But it's been kind of a crazy journey when you think about it. All the different places we've been, all the different faces that we've seen. And we've had some really great people that have been a part of Remnant, and we've loved them and cared for them. And they've moved out of town, and they've gone away, and we miss those people, but we were just so happy to be a part of their life for a while. And so Remnant has this really cool story. And I get texts and phone calls, Facebook messages all the time. I really do, just people that are just thanking Remnant for what the church means to them. And we thank them individually, but... You know, I want to say thank you to you guys because I'm talking about Remnant, you know, as if it's like this entity. But the truth is that Remnant is the people of God that meet together and gather in this place under the name Remnant. That's Remnant Church. That's you guys. So good morning or good afternoon, Remnant Church. That's you guys. And I'm excited about what God's doing in our church and what he's going to do through our church in the future. God's got some big stuff in store for us. So we had no idea when we first started Remnant Church. We're gonna kind of do a little rewind because as I intro into who we are and what we're all about. When we first started Remnant Church, it actually didn't start on April Fool's. I mean, that was the first day we met, but it was about 3 years prior to that Remnant Church was just kind of like this dream. It was kind of like this vision. And I can't say that Remnant Church was a vision from God because I feel like that's really presumptuous. To say, oh, God gave me this vision, you know? I just woke up one day and I'm like, plant a church called Remnant, right? That didn't happen. As a matter of fact, when we first came up with the name Remnant, two out of the three pastors hated the name Remnant, right? Me and Jerry. We were just like, oh, I don't know. I think that name kind of sucks, you know? We're like, I don't know if I like it. And we talked about it. We talked about the meaning of it and all this stuff. And we were like, you know what? Maybe it doesn't, like, right up front, it's not something that grabs you. But it made a lot of sense to us. And we're like, yeah, that really is who we are. So we're going to do some talking about our very beginning. And so I said up front that Remnant wasn't necessarily a vision. But I do believe that God planted a seed in my heart before we actually planted Remnant Church. And it took about 3.5 years, maybe 4 years, for that seed to actually grow into something. Because one thing, I was a little bit stubborn. I was a youth pastor, and I loved youth ministry. I was still involved in youth ministry very much so. And I was here actually at First Baptist Church, which is kind of nostalgic to be, you know, back in my old stomping grounds. But I was a youth pastor here, and serving God, loving teenagers, just having a great time. And the ministry was incredible and amazing. And then I felt this tug on my heart to start a church. And I said, no. I'm like, I don't want to leave because things are great right here. You know, you don't want things to change when it's going awesome, right? When do you want things to change? When they really stink, right? Things are just going miserable, right? You're like, we need to change, right? You don't, like, go out looking for a new car when your car that you have is, like, running smoothly and everything's great, right? But it's like the minute it breaks down, like the second time in the shop, you're just like, yeah, let's just see if there's a sale going on somewhere, right? I mean, you start thinking in terms of change when things don't work out for you. And so I wasn't looking for a change, but God was. God was interested in a change. And it was really, I don't know, I felt like at first it was kind of a change in my heart and in my mind, because I had told God at one point in my life, I said, God, I'm 100% in on this life mission you've called me to. To minister to people, to share your word with others, but I had kind of like put my own parameters on it. You know, it's kind of like if you agree to do a job, but then you tell your boss like how you're going to do your job, it doesn't go very well, does it? Have you ever tried that? No, you don't even work there anymore, right? but so I was like, I kind of wanted God to, you know, to fit into my plan, and God was like, no, let's get rid of your plan because your plan's terrible. And let's go with my plan because I have something much, much better in mind. And so God had brought me to this passage, and I want to just, I'm not going to read the entire passage to you, but those of you that have been with Remnant for a while, you've spent some time in this passage, but I want to just kind of tell the story and highlight a couple of verses. But so in Ezekiel chapter 37, God brings the prophet Ezekiel, whether it was in a dream or whether he physically brought him to a place. It says that he brought him to a place where he was overlooking a valley. And the description of the valley, as Ezekiel describes it in the first person, he says it was a dry, desolate place. I'm reading this and I'm like, hey, that sounds pretty familiar. I've been in a dry, desolate place for a long time now, but they got good carne asada, so I'm still here. But as Ezekiel looked out, he recognized that there was actually, the valley was filled with bones, with dead men's bones. Like just the valley, the floor of the valley was covered with bones, dry bones. And that was it. That was all he could see. And so God asked Ezekiel a question, and he said, son, can these bones become living people again? That's in Ezekiel 37, verse 3. He says, then he asked me, son, can these bones become living people again? And Ezekiel, you know, God's asking the question, so Ezekiel's like pretty smart about it. He's like, well, God, only you know the answer to that question. He's like, I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to listen, okay? And God says, if you were to speak truth, if you were to speak my word, if you were to preach to these bones, then they would live once again. In fact, he says, this is what I want you to say to the dry bones, this valley full of dry bones. In verse 5, say this, I will put breath into you and you will come to life. Then you will know I am the Lord. So Ezekiel does what God tells him to do. He begins to speak God's words to the bones. And all of a sudden, Ezekiel hears this crazy noise, like a rattling noise. Like someone's like running a rake across a bunch of sticks, right? There's just this rattling noise. and he notices that the bones are coming together and they're connecting together. Bone is connecting to bone and tissue to tissue, and skin is, and muscle is starting to form over the bones. And before long, Ezekiel is standing before a massive army. And then God says, one more time, I'm going to breathe life into this army. And God breathes life into them, and they once again are alive. And I read in this passage, I was 33 years old, 32 years old maybe. Let's say 33 because Jesus was 33 when he gave his life for us. That sounds nice. And I was reading this passage, and I got these chills down my back, and I was just like, I'm like, God, are you telling me something? Are you telling me that you want to breathe life into a dry, desolate place? Are you saying that if I'm faithful to preach your word to people that maybe don't know you and are lost and are living in a dry place, a hopeless place, that you would breathe life into them and turn them into your people? And that's exactly what God was saying. And he said this to Ezekiel. He said, when you breathe life into these bones and they become living people, he said, tell them that they are my people, that they are God's people. And I'm here to tell you guys, you are God's people. You belong to him. You belong to God. You're a part of God's family. That's who you are. If your identity is found in God and your relation to him, you're never going to go wrong in this world. But when you begin to be distracted and confused about who you are, that's when problems arise. And so I say this to you today, let God breathe life into you and show you how to live again. Let God breathe his life into you and show you how to live again. Maybe some of you have gone through a difficult time in your life. Maybe the last couple of years or the last few months has been really, really hard. And when I describe that valley that Ezekiel was looking at, maybe that's kind of reminds you of what your life has been like. But I'm here to tell you that God is saying, I want to breathe life. I want to breathe life into you. And I want to show you how to live again. That's the message. That's the message of Remnant Church. Let's talk about our name, Remnant. So I told you already that Jerry and I didn't really care for the name Remnant. And Chris, who is one of the pastors that helped us start Remnant, but no longer with us, came up with that name. And he's like, I really think it's a good name, and here's kind of why. And so we were like, we don't like it, yucky. And then later on, we were like, hit us with it again. Let's listen to this. Remnant. Okay, so there's a couple of definitions. I don't know what you think of when you hear the word remnant. Maybe before you came to the church and you just had heard the word remnant, or maybe when they were having like sales on carpets, you would see that word and you'd be like, remnant, yeah, what does that mean? I still don't know what it means, right? It just means like, you know, something that's left over, right? Just a scrap or something. Well, you're pretty close. So the secular definition of remnant is something that's cast aside without a purpose. Something that's just been cast aside. It doesn't have a purpose. Not really of any use. It's just like, you know, I got what I need here and this is just leftover, so I don't need it. And some of us feel like that leftover piece that was just tossed to the side. Some of us in our lives, because of circumstances, because of places we've been, because of the way people have treated us, because of the way that we felt like our life has just kind of ended up, we feel like we're just kind of cast aside. That we've just been tossed aside, we've been rejected, we've been marginalized. And I'm here to tell you that if you have felt ever at any time in your life that you've been rejected, that you've been said, I don't need you, you don't have a purpose, guess what? Your name's Remnant. But let me tell you something else about your name. The biblical definition. Remnant means set aside by God for a purpose. Do you see the huge difference between something you would just cast aside and have no reason to go pick it up again, that you would have no reason to go back to it? The difference between that remnant and the remnant that God says, I have set you aside for a purpose. The Bible says that God has always had a remnant. In other words, there's always been a people of God that he's worked through. a people of God that God has shown himself faithful to, and they've shown themselves faithful to him, and God has worked through these people, and it hasn't always been the same exact people. In the Old Testament, it was God's people, the Israelites. But in the New Testament, it was all kinds of people from all different ethnicities and all different places, different faces. Everybody looks different. Just like on our video we showed where people talked about Remnant. You didn't see two faces that looked the same. Different places, different faces. And that's who God is calling his remnants. And so we took this name and we're like, you know what? We want to be a church that reaches out to people that feel cast aside, that feel marginalized, that feel rejected. We want to be able to take hold of them and bring them back in and say, guess what? God set you aside for a purpose. Join us. You're welcome. We want you to be a part of this. And that's what our name, Remnant, is all about. I put it this way. Remnant's purpose is to connect ordinary people to a God who loves them and has a purpose for their lives. So we want to take people that feel cast aside and rejected and marginalized and tell them God has a purpose for your life. Let's discover what that purpose is together. Let's go on this journey together. It's a journey of faith, and we're all on board for the ride, and let's discover what God's purpose is for your life. And that's what Remnant's all about. So I say, don't give in to despair and rejection. Let God show you the purpose that he created just for you. So we wrote a couple things down at the very beginning when we first started Remnant. They went on our website. Some of these things are still on our website. I think all of them are, these little statements. And it's like who we are. And the first one is we're a gathering of people from different backgrounds who are all on the same journey of faith. So we don't want anybody to ever think that they're not welcome here because they don't come from the same place we came from. And that was pretty obvious by the pastors that started Remnant. I mean, we were all from different churches. I mean, we probably didn't really run in the same circles in the sense that we kind of had our own denominations and our own churches that we were part of, and we crossed over denominational lines, and we said, those lines are not a big deal because God's kingdom is a bigger deal. It also says who we are. We're less concerned with traditions and more interested in relationships. So we started asking ourselves the question, like why do churches do what they do? Like why do churches do certain things? And if we couldn't find a good answer for one of those things, guess what? We just were like, let's just not do that. You know? Why do they dress up? Why do we wear a suit and tie? We're like, I can't think of a really good reason to do that, especially in the Imperial Valley. Let's not do that, right? Why do churches pass an offering plate and make visitors feel a little bit uncomfortable when a plate comes by and they're like, hey, give us money. Like, why do they do that? I don't know. Let's not do that. It's just a tradition that someone started doing, and I don't think it's a good tradition. So let's put a box in the back. We'll never talk about it unless somebody mentions it. When we talk about giving during our study, you know, we'll talk about giving, but we're not going to put that box in front of your face and say you need to put something in it. So there are certain things that we were just like, okay. We're like, what kind of music do people listen to? Do people listen to slow organ? Some people do. I enjoy a good bagpipe, but I might be the only one in the building. And we're like, what appeals to people? And so we said, hey, Remnant Worship Band, let's try to do something that appeals to people, that people will enjoy, and it'll help them connect to God and be able to worship him in a better way. So there's a lot of things. We were like, we're not really interested in traditions. We're interested in the people. And another thing about who we are, we're a part of God's kingdom, a part of the body of believers everywhere, his church. Now, I have to say this because some people up front, when we first started Remnant, they said, hey, what are you guys doing? Some like crazy, you know, what was the term they were calling us? An emergent church. Yeah, they were like, you guys are doing an emergent church. And we're like, what does that mean? So I went on the internet. I'm like, emergent church, what does it mean? Oh, nobody knows what it means. There was like 30 definitions for it. Okay, maybe we're doing that. I don't know. It's got enough definitions, probably. But we're like, no, we didn't want to do church just to be different. We didn't want to do church different just so that we ourselves could be different. That was not our plan at all. That wasn't what Remnant was all about. We weren't about being different. right? Because being different means that you change your hairstyle, you change the style of clothes, whatever, and you show up for school or work and you look like everybody else. What? I was trying to be different. No, everybody's doing the same thing. Oh, why? Okay, that doesn't work. So there's other churches that do the same things that we do. So we don't want to be different. What we want to do is to recognize that we're just a small part of the body of believers everywhere. There are people that believe in Jesus and have a relationship with him and are on the same path that we're on, that same journey. And we're just like them. In fact, we're all in the same boat. We're all a part of them. We just happen to meet in a gym and we have a really cool band and some crazy pastors. So we're part of God's kingdom. So what's our purpose? If we wanted to really nail down our purpose, I think there's five things that really stand out about the goals, the things that we want to accomplish, the things that we want to do as a church. And there are these five things. Worship. Obviously, we want to worship God. Community. We want to connect to each other. Learning. We want to learn from God's word. If you ever come to a service at Remnant and the Bible's not open and the word of God is not taught, I tell you right now, leave. Just be like, this isn't the place for me. If they're not opening God's word, they're not sharing God's word, they're not speaking God's heart, you can leave because you shouldn't be a part of a church that's not doing that. So learning, serving. You know, I love the heart of the people at Remnant to serve, people that want to serve, not only serving each other. You know, when someone has a death in the family or when someone is going through a tough time, a sickness, an illness, it's like there's like this crazy little vibe going on in the church where it's like, we got to do something. Let's make them some food. Let's, you know, let's do this or that. You know, someone's lost a loved one. Let's prepare some meals for them. Someone's sick. Let's fix them some food. It usually comes down to food where it's like, well, let's feed them. That fixes everything, right? But it's like people want to serve. They want to do something. You know, Casa Caritas didn't come to us. Casa Caritas didn't come to us and say, hey, would you help us? We're a daycare and orphanage, and we need supplies on a regular basis. No, we heard about them, and we're just like, hey, how can we help out? And they were like, oh, let me tell you how you can help out. And they gave us a list, and we've been faithful to follow that and to help out and to serve. There's been many, many opportunities that have come along for Remnant to serve up one another. And then outreach. We want people to know about Jesus. We want people to know that there's hope in this life because people will live their entire lives without hope. So last week, I lost a friend of mine to suicide. A gal who I never actually had met in person, but we had a lot of conversations, email and text messages and through social media. A gal who actually started an organization that was all about suicide prevention. And amazing gal. And in some of our conversations as we talked, she would say things like, I just don't know if I'm necessary, if people need me. And I'm like, are you kidding me, Amy? You've touched so many lives, so many people look to you, and you've given people purpose. Why couldn't she discover her own purpose in giving others a purpose? It was heartbreaking. It really was. I was looking back through my text message. I'm like, what was the last conversation we had? What could I have said? What could I have done differently? And I look back, and she was like, Merry Christmas. And I was like, Merry Christmas. No, not that conversation. You know, back a little further. And we talked about, you know, how we have our identity in Christ and how we can't find our validation in what people say about us. We can't look at other people and get their opinions about who we are and then say, okay, I guess that's who I am. We can't do that. You know why? Because the more people that have opinions about you, the more you're going to change who you are. You have to go to one person, one source, to discover who you are. And we want people here at Remnant, we want people to know who they are, to discover their purpose. And the only way they're going to discover that is if we reach out to them. So we want to reach out to the hurting. We want to reach out to those that feel rejected and marginalized. We want to reach out to people that think they have it all together. You know, there's people like that, right? That's not me, and I don't know a whole lot of people. They're not my friends, right? But there are people out there that think they have it all together, and those people need Jesus probably just as much or more than those that feel lost. And that's what we're all about. So there's a couple of verses that remind us of that. We want to worship God. Matthew 4, verse 10 says, You must worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Jesus' words. It's interesting because Jesus said these words when he was being tempted by Satan. You know, Jesus was in the wilderness. He was in a dry, desolate place, kind of like the Imperial Valley. And Satan came to him and tempted him. And one of the things Satan said was, hey, if you just bow down and worship me, I can give you anything you want. I always thought that was crazy because Jesus is God, right? But he hadn't eaten for 40 days, so it's like, you know, maybe Jesus did want something, right? But Satan said that, and Satan was like, no. Or Jesus was like, no. He said, you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him. And that is a call to the church. That is one of the purposes. That's a pillar of the church today, to worship God and let nothing else in our lives, not a person, not a thing, not a job, not a career, nothing, get more attention than Jesus in our lives. They don't deserve the attention. They're not worthy of the attention that Jesus deserves. And so we worship. Community, we connect together in fellowship. Ephesians 2:19 says, so now you are no longer strangers and foreigners. How many of you walked in today and you didn't really know a couple people? You were just like, you know, you knew like two or three people, but then by the end of the greeting time, you're like, oh, I shook hands with like probably 10 people that have colds. Great, you know, including me. I'm sorry, I've had a cold for like 5 days. But it's like we want to be connected. We want to be connected. You're no longer strangers and foreigners. Like you walk in this place, you're no longer a stranger. You're a part of a family. And if you choose to walk back out and go somewhere else, that's okay. But next time you come in, welcome back. You're part of this family, right? You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. God's holy people. Holy means set aside. So you're a part of that group that's been set aside, the remnant. You are members of God's family. That's what community means. Learning. What does it mean for us to learn? Where does the Bible tell us that? Well, if you read the Bible anywhere, God's constantly encouraging us to increase knowledge and grow. Matter of fact, Jesus himself, the one description of what he did, what he was all about when he was a kid, when he was growing up, is just that he grew in knowledge and wisdom. It also says he grew in stature, so he's kind of tall too. I don't know. But he grew. He grew in knowledge, in wisdom. And that's God's design for us too, for us to grow. Colossians 1:28 says, teaching everyone with all the wisdom God has given us. We want to present them to God, perfect in their relationship with Christ. So the goal is for all of you to understand what God's word is all about. Understand what this life is all about because you've looked at God's word. And guess what? You're not going to ever get there, but you're going to spend an entire lifetime trying. And that's what this journey is all about. It's all about trying to discover all of what God wants us to know about this life. And that's a purpose, my friend. That is way more of a purpose than just getting up and going to work and coming back home, watching TV, eating dinner, and going to bed, right? That's way more of a purpose than that. Serving. Ephesians 4:12 says, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. You know what it means to serve somebody in the body of Christ? It means to build them up, to encourage them in whatever way you can. It doesn't mean you have to necessarily fix them a meal. It doesn't mean you have to go and change their flat tire. You could serve someone by just being kind to them. You could serve someone by just giving them a ride somewhere. You could serve someone by just giving them a compliment. Guess what? Compliments are free. They don't cost you anything. We should be handing those out all the time right here. Take a compliment, right? I didn't pay for it. It's free. We should be handing those out all the time. There are many, many ways, multitudes of ways for us to serve. And then outreach. Mark 16:15 says, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to one and all. Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to one and all. That's what we're called to do. We're called to share God's love with the world around us. Now, it doesn't mean that every one of us has to become a pastor, okay? So maybe some of us aren't cut out to be pastors. Jerry said he's not. No, I'm just kidding. But some of us, we're just not. It's like roast Jerry Day or something. But there's certain things that we've been gifted for. And I'm not saying that you're called to be a missionary or a pastor or a Bible teacher, okay? I'm not saying that, but I am saying that if God has shown you his love, your job is to show that love to somebody else. And everybody can do that. Everybody can do that. It doesn't always take words, but every single one of us can show God's love. And in that way, we're reaching out to the world around us. Sure, from time to time, we're going to have events and special activities and things, and we're going to ask you to invite people to come in and be a part of it. Yeah, and that's a big deal. We want you to do that. But that shouldn't be the only time that you're reaching out to people. That shouldn't be the only time that you grab someone's hand and say, come with me. You can invite someone just to dinner in your own home. And that's just as much outreach as inviting them to come here at RemNet. You understand what I'm saying? All right. Here's the main point that I want you to get today. I've already said it once, or at least I alluded to it. You are remnants. You are remnant church. You, the people, are remnant church. So that means that if remnant has these goals, these things that we want to do, that we know we're supposed to accomplish, that means that each and every one of us as individuals in our lives, we have these same purposes. That's the truth of it. So if you're not worshiping God, living in community, learning and growing in your faith, serving others and sharing God's love, you are not living a life of purpose. That's just it, my friends. And I don't know, I don't want that to come across harsh, because if you're just like, oh, I'm doing like 2 out of 5, you know, I don't want you to feel bad, okay? I'm not saying this so you feel bad, but I am saying this so that you know there's more that needs to be done. There's more that's set out before you. There's more to be accomplished. Much, much more. And it's so good. You know, whenever we take our kids out to eat at a restaurant, it's like they give us a menu, and there's like all this good food on the menu, right? And Debbie and I are just like looking down through everything. We're like thinking about it, you know. I'm like, oh, tilapia, that tastes pretty good. Yeah, looking down, fajitas, ooh. You start to smell them already. Oh, the guy behind me at the table has them. Hey, and I'm like, we're like thinking about all these items on the menu, right? And then our kids get there and they're just like, I want mac and cheese. I'm like, what? I know, it's Kraft mac and cheese, right? I mean, we can make that at home in the microwave if we ever bought Kraft mac and cheese, you know? It's like, that, but kids want that, right? And what else do they want? Chicken nuggets, right? I want my chicken nuggets. I'm like, why? Why do you want a chicken nugget? Just have like a chicken leg and, you know, some teriyaki sauce on it. And then throw some rice on it. You know, it's like we're trying to, but man, how often? That sounds crazy to us, right? I mean, as soon as, part of being an adult is like getting to enjoy all the stuff that you never enjoyed as a kid, right? Josiah gets up after he'd already gone to bed. He was supposed to be in bed, right? He gets up and comes in and he catches Debbie and I in the kitchen serving ourselves some ice cream. The look on his face was classic. He comes walking in like half awake, you know. You know, and he sees the ice cream, he's like. He like looks at my wife, he looks at me, looks at Debbie again, looks at me, looks at the ice cream. This happens when I go to sleep, right? You see it all over his face, right? And here's the words that come out of his mouth. He's like, you're evil. And my wife quickly responds. She's like, no, we're adults. That's what you have to look forward to, right? Having ice cream at midnight. But here's the thing. God offers us so much. You guys don't even understand the incredible buffet that God is offering us. And yet we come to God's table and we're just like, I'll have the chicken nuggets, right? It's like, no, God has so much more. Don't limit yourself by refusing what God has to offer. God has so much, much more for us. You know, when I envisioned sharing with you guys this Sunday, I was like, I really want to cast some vision about the future of Remnant and say, this is where we're going. This is what God's doing. Let's all go. Are you all with me? Yay, right? And I'm like, you know what? No, I don't want to hype everybody up. I want to remind everybody about the truth, about the reason that God put us here. And I want to tell people, we have to keep doing what God's called us to do. Don't get weary in well-doing. Don't get distracted by the world. You know, there's a lot of things that can distract you, and some of those things are really, really good things. Caring for your family, spending time with your family, sports with the kids. I mean, there's all kinds of really good stuff out there that is just waiting to pull us away from what God wants for us. And we just have to be wise about it. And we have to say, okay, I'm going to do this, but I'm not going to do this because it kind of cuts into what God wants to do in my life. And I'm not going to be selfish and just do my own thing, but I'm going to invite someone else to come along so that I can be reaching out to someone. And I'm going to make myself feel a little bit uncomfortable at times because I want someone else to be comfortable. Those are the types of things that a mature person says when they come to the dinner table. That's the kind of adult that gets up at midnight and has some ice cream, right? We're like, there's ice cream in the fridge. I'm going to have some, right? And God is saying, I got tons and tons of good things for you. You're just going to have to let go of some of those things that you think are better, but they're not. So where is Remnant going? I don't know. I don't know what the future holds for us. I don't know. But I know that God wants us to continue to grow. He wants us to continue to grow by learning more about him, and he wants us to continue to grow by adding more people to our gathering. Those are two things that I know. And so what's next Sunday going to look like? Well, it's Palm Sunday. It's going to be pretty cool. Hope you all come back because God has something for you. It's going to be right here. Sunday after that, it's Easter. Even people that don't go to church any other time of the year, they'll come out on Easter. That's a great opportunity for you to grab someone and say, hey, come to our service. There's a breakfast, right? Pretty awesome. Matter of fact, tell them, hey, you can eat breakfast, and if you don't want to stay for the service, then you can take off. But then tell them, hey, ride with me in my car, right? So they can't go anywhere. So I don't know. I don't know what God has in store for us. I can be honest with you about that. But I do know the direction he wants us to go. And I do know what he wants us to do. And I want to say this, that what we've done so far, it's not what we've done, it's what God's done. But I would not have wanted to do it without you guys, and I would not have wanted to do it without Jerry and without Victor. You guys are amazing. All you guys that help and serve and love, care for each other, wouldn't be the same without you guys. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you, God, for a little church called Remnant that started on April Fool's Day. You know, God, we could have just showed up the next Sunday and said, just kidding, it's not really happening. But we didn't. We showed up and we said, what do you got for us next? And we just kept saying that every Sunday. What do you have for us next, God? And now we're saying that today. What do you have for us next, Father? We want to be a part of it. We're all in. God, I pray for each and every person in this room today. Some that are in that dry, desolate valley right now. And maybe today it's just been a little light. And they just have recognized that you want to breathe life into them. God, I pray that you would answer that prayer right now. So if anybody here today that wants God to breathe life into you, would you just say a quick prayer to God? And the prayer is not important. It's your heart attitude towards God. Just say, God, I'm ready. I'm ready to receive life. Breathe your life into me. I don't know all of what that means, but I know that I want to put my faith and my trust in you. And so right now, I ask you to breathe life into me. If that's you, would you just do that? If it helps to just breathe in deep and say, God, fill me up with your life, your breath. Maybe you've wandered from God. Maybe you've kind of done your own thing, and you know, maybe you just didn't realize how far you'd gotten away from him because you were doing good stuff, and you just, all of a sudden, you look back, and you're like, wow, God, you're really far away. And maybe God's saying, come closer. He's beckoning you. He's saying, come closer. Would you just take a step towards him right now? In your own heart, take a step towards him. Maybe say, God, I'm ready to start coming back to you. I need you in my life. I can't fool myself anymore to thinking I can do this on my own. Maybe you're here today and you're a little bit tired because you've been serving God and you've been doing some really cool stuff. And God's been using you and you're just like, oh man, I feel kind of spent. I feel like I need a breather. I need a break. and God saying, hey, I got one more thing for you. I got one more thing for you, but guess what? I'm going to refresh you and renew you. With each experience, I'm going to give you more of what it takes to do the next thing. Be encouraged. Be encouraged if that's you. God has so much more for you. Dive into his word. Dive into prayer. Let him love you. Let him encourage you.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com.